It's a great day.
Amen.
If you're visiting for the first time, I'm telling you, we get kind of worked up about Easter. Christmas is wonderful. The incarnation of Christ, when God sent Jesus to be born in human flesh, God in flesh, that's an amazing time. We get excited about that, but there's nothing better than Easter. If you were here for our Good Friday service, Good Friday is when we actually celebrate the fact that Jesus went to the cross. And I reminded us, it is a Good Friday. It's good that God sent His Son and that He chose to go to that cross. I don't know if you noticed the nuances, but on Friday when you show up, the cross out front just has black on it. And there's black here on the cross. But when you come in on Sunday morning, purple. Everybody say purple.
Purple
is a sign of royalty, and it's a sign of a risen Savior. We don't serve a martyred Savior, we serve a risen Savior, a Savior who reigns. He has been reigning at the right hand of the throne of God ever since, and He reigns today. Amen?
Amen.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I've got an easy message for us this morning. Justified by grace. Again, those of you who didn't catch that either, that's a tomb. That's the stone that's rolled away, and you're starting to see that crack of light there. It's justified by grace that gets us to heaven. It's being justified by grace through faith that ensures your salvation. So we want to make sure we make that clear today. We're going to turn, starting in Romans 3, verse 22 through 24. Romans 3. 22 to 24. You can use your Bible or get a gadget out, or there's Bibles within the seats underneath the little baskets throughout if you wanted to get a copy out and open up Romans 3, 22 to 24. While you're finding that, I'll meet you there in just a moment. Let's pray it in today. We have a thing we do here at Oakwood. I ask you to pray a prayer. You don't have to pray this prayer out loud, but I ask everybody to just give this prayer to God in their heart. Would you just say these words? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that everyone hearing this would be edified until everyone is satisfied. And we pray that Satan would be horrified. In Jesus' name. Some of you are a little thrown off because we added one. If you were here on Friday, you didn't hear the story, but a team of 12 of us just got home at 2:30 a.m. Well, at 2:30 a.m., I was finally getting in bed on Friday morning. We went to Jamaica, and we served there. And Jamaica is where I first heard that prayer. I pray every time before I speak, may God be glorified, may the people be edified, and may Satan be horrified. And while we were standing there on the porch, I was reminding our guys that that is where I first heard that prayer. Pastor Falconer, Dave Falconer, praised that prayer. And so I was telling him that, and he added, until they're satisfied. And so now we've got a new one we've got to add to our prayer. Is that okay with you guys? We'll learn it. We'll get it there. Well, let's look at Romans 3, 23 through 24, talking about justified by grace. It says, the righteousness is given. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You'll notice we're going to use the word righteousness a lot today and the word justified. And I want to make those terms clear to you. Righteousness is absolute perfection, purity. And we know that our God is a righteous God. There's no one holy like God. God is the only one who is completely holy. We can't stand before a holy God and claim to be holy in and of ourselves because we're not. In this passage, we very clearly see that the righteousness that we need is given. Everybody say given.
Yeah.
It has to be given to you. It's through faith. We must have faith, and then God gives us this righteousness. How? It's in Jesus Christ to all who believe. My question for you today is, do you believe? At every funeral that I preach the story of Lazarus. and how Lazarus is raised. But before Lazarus is raised, one of his sisters yells at Jesus. She kind of gives Jesus the business. She gives Jesus a hard time by saying, Jesus, if you had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus says, yes, but he will rise again. Jesus knows he's about to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. And she goes, yeah, I know, the resurrection at the end. And he goes, no, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will not die. Do you believe this? He looked her right in the face and said, do you believe this? I think it's life's ultimate question that everyone has to answer. I think you're all going to be held accountable to that question. Do you believe this? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we believe that, the Bible very clearly says, through faith, God graciously gives us the gift of righteousness. You see, we can't stand before a holy God and enter into heaven unless we ourselves have been declared righteous. Let's look at another verse. It's found in Romans 5, verse 1. And it tells us we must be declared righteous. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness has to be declared. It has to be given by somebody who has the authority to declare you righteous. And that is God and God alone. God will stand as the only righteous judge. Everybody will stand before God someday. And either you've been declared righteous or you're going to be standing there in your sinfulness. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned. I'm not judging you today. You were born with a sin problem. Since Adam and Eve, everyone that's been born has been born with a sin problem. That's enough to have a stand before a holy God unclean. But not only were you born with a sin problem, you chose sin on your own. Everyone in this room. We're not doing this game of who's better and who's worse. Some of you might be looking around saying, I know that guy over there and he's worse than I am. Well, that might be true, but it doesn't matter. Sin is sin, sin is sin. And we will stand before a holy God. Don't forget that means righteous, absolute 100% perfection and pure. We'll stand before him someday. In our sinfulness, from nature and from choice, and he won't allow any sin to enter into heaven. That means you and I, we've got a big problem. So we need the judge to declare us righteous, even though we're not. You might be saying, how does that work? Let me try to explain it. I don't have much power and authority in my own. However, ordained ministers get the privilege of doing something. And some of you have probably done weddings. You know, you've got the Cracker Jack box, you know, the little certificate. And so you've done a wedding. But you know, and I'm not saying I'm upset by that. I'm not saying I look down upon that. But ordained ministers, we marry people. And we bury people. It's about all I'm good for is marrying and burying. And at those two things, we make a declaration. See, I was trained by the best, Pastor Brian Spencer in Battle Creek. He taught me how to do weddings. And he taught me how to do funerals. And being the officiant, because that's what they call us. We get a new title for weddings. And it's a real deal. I'm the officiant. Matter of fact, I got the socks to prove it today. I was given this from somebody right here today. At their wedding, they gave us all socks, and mine says, the officiant. And that means I have an honor and privilege of making a declaration. See, I go through all the stuff, right? We do, I do, you do, we do. All the doo-doo's done, I get to say, we used to say, by the power invested in me, we cut that out now. We just say, and now I pronounce you husband and wife. And something amazing happens. At that moment, they've been changed. They're not just Bob and Sue anymore. They're husband and wife. From that moment. I'm not saying it's a power trip or anything, but it's pretty cool. After every wedding, my last job is to sign that. There's two of them. One's for show and one's to go. One has to go to the person that's the authority. We got to, they send us a letter in the mail. They tell us, you know, you do this by penalty of law, threatening pastors that we'll go to jail if we do it wrong. And so Julie and I have a routine after every wedding I do. We leave the wedding and go straight to the post office. And we put I have a stamp already. We keep them in my car in case it's not stamped. And we put that thing right in the mailbox so I don't go to jail. It's official stuff. The power was vested in me to declare them husband and wife. And they're husband and wife. So after every wedding, we finally got to get that husband and wife together and a witness and a witness. And it just takes those four people and me. We sign away our lives and it's official. And almost every wedding, the bride looks at me and she says, "Which name am I supposed to sign?" And I said, "Weren't you listening? I declared you." See, something happened. Years ago, at my wedding, I didn't have this ring. It was quite a day. I was worked up, you know. I was excited. We did old school. I didn't see Julie before the wedding. Hadn't seen her that whole day. I was getting excited. My heart's kind of fluttering. I'd written a song, an original song that I wrote on the guitar, and I had the guitar hidden. And my friend's a really good recording artist. He was my best man, and he was going to sing harmony with me. We're going to perform at the wedding. And so there's a lot of stuff going on in my head. And every wedding, you get to the moment where the pastor, he gets right here in the middle. And then the guy who's going down, he's right next to him. And just the two of us are standing there. And then all the, you know, the peoples come. You know, the flower children and all the guards with the rings and everything. Everybody, everything's there. We all show up. And finally, no matter what music was playing, finally, there's a change. And usually they pick that, what, canon in B or whatever. It's the big, you know, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And every, you know, you stand to your feet. And everybody turns and looks. And the doors of the church open up. And there she is. It was quite a moment at our wedding. I was overcome, you know. My heart was pounding already, you know. And when the door opened and I saw her, I just couldn't believe my eyes. She was beautiful. Just glowing. And I remember looking at her and I started to freak out a little bit. I started to panic and get weak knees. And I just said, "She's too good for me." And my best man said, "We all know that, but it's too late now." And then here comes the bride. And I remember there came a moment where Pastor Brian Spencer, he says, "I pronounce you husband and wife," and the ring was on my finger. And every day since then, I know that I've been declared a husband. And every day since then, she's praying that I'll become a better one. It happened. It was a legal declaration. And friends, I'm telling you, that's what needs to happen for you today. And I don't know if it's happened for you yet. You need to be justified by grace. Justification, being justified, is a legal term. It's a legal declaration before a righteous judge. Romans 4 verse 5 says, "However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness." Wow. To the one who does not work but trusts God. Who is the one who declares people righteous? He's the righteous judge. Friends, the only thing that'll get you to heaven is if God, the holy righteous judge, says, "You are righteous and pure." Even though you're standing there knowing that you're not. How does that take place? By faith. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, come into your life as Savior and Lord, then you can stand before a holy God someday and He will declare you righteous and pure. I'm going to stand before a holy God someday as Don Jackson in all my sinfulness. I don't know what it's going to be like. I really don't know, but I'm imagining that there's going to be a time when He says, "Don Jackson," I'm going to be shaking in my boots. My name's going to be because the righteous judge. And I can't fake it. I can't pull off a trickery here because I know Don Jackson is sinful. I know that I not only was born from sinners, but I chose sin on my own. And I think that righteous, holy one's going to look right at me wants to know who's paying for the sin. The sin has to be paid for. I'm going to say, God, I ask your son Jesus to save me. And at that moment, I believe God's going to do an amazing thing. He's going to be looking at Don Jackson and all my sinfulness, and instead he's going to turn his eyes to his son, the perfect one. And he's going to look at Jesus and say, Don Jackson, you are perfect. You're righteous and true. Enter into my eternal rest. How could that happen? It's because God is going to impute all of Jesus' righteousness on me. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus became all of my sin. He didn't just put it on. He wasn't just wearing it for a moment. He became my sin and your sin on that cross. And then he died for that sin. He was in the grave. And 3 days later, God said, up from the grave. And Jesus arose, defeating sin and death once and for all. So when the righteous one sits there at the right hand of the throne of God, I get all of his perfection. Why? Because he became my sin. But you can miss that. You can choose to show up and just hope you get in. You can choose to show up and hope maybe God's going to judge your good deeds and bad deeds. What a worthless pursuit that is. Because God says that all of your righteousness is as good as filthy rags. So all of your best days. I took a team to Jamaica last week. We worked in the sweat and the heat and the sun and to the point of exhaustion, like to the point we were worried that guys were going to go down. And we can go to heaven and say, God, I worked hard in Jamaica. I suffered. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags to him. Those works, don't trust in them. Romans says, for the one who does not work but trusts God. Do you believe? Have you put your faith in him? It's a legal declaration. I want to go back to the story I started to tell on Good Friday. It's one of my favorites. It's one of the trilogies that Jesus was speaking, and he was trying to explain that God loves lost people. Lost people matter to God. The religious crowd was giving Jesus a hard time because he was hanging out with sinners. And he tell them three stories. The first one was a shepherd had 100 sheep. He lost one. He goes and looks for the sheep till he finds it. The next one was the lady, the widow, who has barely anything. She only has 10 coins. She loses one. She searches the whole house until she finds it. And then Jesus says, and there was a man who had 2 sons. Do you see the weight of that? Do you see the weight of what Jesus was doing? 100 sheep. Well, that's a lot of sheep. Just lost one. 10 coins. That's not very much money. We got to find that one. 2 sons. He amped it up each story. But the purpose of the story was not to talk about the man's sinfulness. We love that. We do that all the time. The prodigal son. We've titled it The Prodigal Son. Can I tell you something today? The story's not about the prodigal son. The story's all about the father. What's the father like? And on Good Friday, I talked about the kazaza service. And the Jewish custom is a kazaza service where if someone has left the Jewish community and gone and wasted their inheritance on wild living amongst the Gentiles, the community would cut them off. Matter of fact, if that son would ever come back and try to enter the community, they would meet him. They would leave the gates and meet him on the path, and they would break a clay pot. They would take a clay pot and they would smash it before him. It was called the kazaza. And if you had a pot smashed before you, that was a declaration, another declaration, that you were cut off, banished, shunned. So that whole story is not about how sinful the son was. The story is about the father. Because when the father saw his son coming home, which meant he'd been watching for him every day. He'd been looking through the distance to see if his son was coming back. Why? Because he knew he had to reach his son before the community cut him off. He had to beat the kazaza ceremony. So he saw the son. And what did he do? He hiked up his robe. Totally undignified. Landowners did not run in that culture. And he ran. Hiked up his clothes and ran to his son. Some of you are hoping I'll do that thing I did Friday where I showed you how old men run. It's crazy. I can't run anymore. I used to run. I used to be an athlete. I used to play basketball and soccer. Now, if something happens and I got to run, my body doesn't remember how to do it, and it's weird looking. And it all hurts. You know, my legs hurt. My back hurts. Can you imagine an older man hiking up his robe and hightailing it through town? Everybody's saying, what's he doing? That's so undignified. But he ran because of the son. Remember how the story goes? The son had a speech. He rehearsed the speech over and over again in his head. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. If you would just take me in as one of your slaves, I'll just be a hired man for you. He had a whole speech. I'm sure the whole time he's walking home. The Bible says he came to his senses. He was slopping food for pigs. Jewish boy end up slopping food for pigs. Unclean, unclean, unclean. He's wallowing in the mud. And the Bible says he wished he had one of the pods that the pigs would eat. But no one would let him have a pod from the mud. That's when he came to his senses. Well, I don't know about you today. There might be somebody here that needs to come to your senses. The way you've been living isn't doing it. It is never going to satisfy. I've been there. I can tell you for a fact. My life was a garbage can of addiction. When I was young, man, if anything would bring me pleasure for the moment, I would throw it in the garbage can of addiction. I tried it all. Ended up selling drugs and abusing alcohol, and my life was a wreck. And every time I tried to satisfy, I would just end up helpless and hopeless, and it just felt like a toilet bowl of addiction. High. I can never find that high again. It would never satisfy. I was like a young Jewish boy wallowing in the pig mud, wanting to eat the pig food. The boy finally woke up and said, man, my dad has servants upon servants, and they eat good. They get bread every day. I'll go back and beg to be one of his slaves. I'll just go beg to be a slave. So here he is, he's coming from a long ways away. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me one of your slaves. I'll work for food. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against... But he couldn't get the whole story out because his father come running to beat the town. And he meets him there, undignified. He bore the shame for his son. He meets him, and that's where I want to read today. Luke 15, 20 through 24. So he got up, the son, and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to the father, he starts giving a speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer to be worthy to call your son. Stop! The father stopped the speech and he said to his servants, quick! Notice there's an exclamation point there. Quick! Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and let's kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. So they began to celebrate. Do you see what happened here? Not only did the father run, not only was the father watching for his son. And guys, let me tell you this morning, God's watching. He's been waiting for you. Some of you think that God doesn't like you. When I was in my depth of sinfulness and addiction, I thought God hated me. I really did. Until I realized that he did everything to purchase me back. So some of you are thinking you're too far gone. Well, God's been watching in the distance for you to come back. If you just turn, and you can come up with some fancy prayer if you want, but God's going to cut you off in the middle and say, I love you. He's going to put his arms around you. And then he's going to do three things, four things. The robe covered his shameful clothes before the village could see them. You see, the father said, quick, we got to do this fast. They're grabbing the clay pot. They want to cut my son off. I want to make sure before they get here, they understand that I'm declaring him my son again. He's no longer banished. So quick, get the best robe. Maybe it had to come off the father's back. You see, when the son came, he'd been in the pig mud. He'd been a slave out in the world. He comes barefoot, cut up, dirty. So the father says, quick. And they put a robe on him to cover up the shamefulness. They put a ring on his finger, and it wasn't just a ring, it was a signet ring. It was an authority ring. It restored him to full sonship in front of the witnesses. This is like a pastor saying, I now pronounce you husband and wife. The father said, I now pronounce you my son again. And it's an amazing thing because that son had taken his portion of the inheritance and blown it on wild living. The moment the father puts the ring on his finger, he becomes a full heir again. A full heir. You wonder why the other son was so angry. I would have been too. It's not fair, Dad. He took his half, and now you're going to give him another half. I'm losing out, Dad. God said to the young, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Why are you looking at it and who gets more? You all get all of it. Son, you got everything I have to give. Don't be jealous. By the way, he was, remember the religious people wondering why Jesus was hanging with sinners? There's his answer. If you believe in God, you have it all. Stop whining about new people coming in. He throws the robe on him, puts the ring, makes him a full heir again. And then he gives him the running shoes. Sorry, I had to have a third R. The Jamaica team came up with this R, by the way. We were in Jamaica, and I'm like, guys, I need a third R because I got a robe and a ring. Sandals just isn't going to cut it. And they thought about Reebok. They thought about running shoes. We're going with running shoes. The father gave him a robe. He gave him the ring, and then he puts the sandals on his feet. Why? Because sandals meant that you were a son. You see, slaves didn't wear sandals in that culture. Only sons had on sandals. And by the time the village got their pot, we're going to show this kid, and they show up, and here he is dressed like a son. The ring of a son. Sandals on his feet. Not only did he do these things, but he restored him. He says out loud, this is my son. Not a servant, not a hired hand, my son. Do you see what happened in this story? There was a declaration. In the story, God is the Father, and he's the only one who declares somebody a son. Righteous and pure. Have you been declared justified by grace? It's a legal declaration. Number two, it's by faith alone. The Bible says in Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. It's got to be by faith. And again, friends, I want to make sure you understand this because I think more than half the world still think you get to heaven by doing good enough. Your good is never good enough. It's not about works. It's about faith. You come by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Sure, once you receive Christ, then your life is filled with good works, but not out of duty or loyalty in order to get into heaven. It's something you do because you're a son now. And you live differently. God changes you. Men take off work and go to Jamaica for a week and work like slaves in the sun. Why do we do that? Not to get to heaven. We're already assured that. We do that because we got brothers and sisters in Jamaica that had a hurricane. So we want to help our brothers and sisters, and so we go and work. Why? Because of love. It's only because of love. So if you still think you're going to get to heaven by works, you're wrong. Don't bet on that. That's a losing bet. God has told us in Scripture that it's through faith alone, justification, that declaration only comes if we have faith in Christ. It's a justification that means we receive Christ's righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? That's exactly what I've been preaching all morning. This justification is a declaration from a holy God. And this verse says, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Remember that incarnation I talked about a moment ago at Christmas, when God sent Jesus to become human flesh, and then he was born of a virgin? That's so important. Some of you say, I don't want to believe those weird parts of the Bible. Jesus is good and all, but we don't have to go there. No, you have to go there. Because he had to be born of a virgin. If he hasn't been born of a virgin, then he's got Joseph's sinfulness. It would be passed down to him. He would also be born with a sin problem. But Jesus was not. He was born of God through Mary. He didn't have that sin. So number one, he was pure from birth. And then he never chose to sin. The Bible says very clearly, he did not choose sin. Even though he was tempted in every way like you and me, he chose not to sin. So there you go, two. He wasn't born of sin, he never chose to sin. So the Bible says, he became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Has there been a time in your life when by faith you said, God, please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe it's at that moment that God declares you righteous and pure. The ring comes on your finger, like my wedding ring, that declares that I'm a husband. Apparently with too much salt in my system. I've been declared a husband. Have you been declared God's son? Have you been declared righteous and pure? The power comes from his resurrection 3 days later. But it's by faith you're saved through grace. I can show it to you in maybe a different way. I have this box. I want to show you this fancy, fancy box that we put together for this very reason. You see, when we stand before a holy God, we need to be able to stand before him 100% righteous and pure. This is Susie. Susie's demonstrating what it looks like to be 100% righteous and pure. Clothed in righteousness, right? The Bible says, didn't it, in 2 Corinthians, become the righteousness of God. So Susie here, she's demonstrating what it looks like the moment you stand before a holy God and he declares you righteous and pure. But that's not how Susie started, you see. Susie actually started, like you and I, she started with a sin problem. Mired in, oh boy, you did a good job. Susie's mired in mud. She'd been wallowing with the pigs, apparently, and she's covered from head to toe. Can you imagine Susie showing up and pretending she's righteous and pure? Can you imagine Susie showing up before a holy God and saying, here I am, I'm perfect, just like Jesus. Look at her. Like the sun coming from far away. There's no way that God's going to say that this is perfect and pure. No, he must declare you righteous and pure. See, God does an amazing thing when he takes Susie, and by faith, Susie becomes righteous and pure. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, in her sinfulness, she's covered in it. Do it quick again, Susie. She's covered in it. From head to toe, can you see her? She's a mess. There's nothing she can do. Some of you think, maybe I'll clean it up enough. Maybe if I just clean it up and I'll try to be better. Some of you are going to do that. You're going to end up going to heaven trying hard to clean it up. There's no chance. The only chance is you have a holy God who sent his son to that cross, who became Susie's sinfulness. And on that cross, he took her guilt and her shame, her filth and her dirt, and he declares her immediately from dirt and filth to righteous and pure. Applaud or something. This is good stuff. This is good news. Susie did a great job. I want to close in prayer. I pray that, not here and now, but that you would understand that when you stand before a holy God someday, you have the opportunity to stand there 100% righteous and pure because of Jesus. It's through faith alone, by His grace alone. It's a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. I pray today that you've received it. If you haven't received it, I pray you've received it today. Let me pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would bless the people who are here today, that they would hear the words that you give us in Scripture and know that there is a way to be saved. It's by grace and it's through faith. God, I pray that no one would leave hoping that they've been good enough. I pray that no one could leave here thinking they could clean it up just in time. I pray that all of them understand our absolute hopelessness and helplessness, but for God's grace. Thank you for the grace. Thank you that you give us this legal declaration that we can know. Your author of 1 John says, I write these things so that they may know that they're children of God. God, I pray that everyone leaving today would know that they're a child of yours through faith. God, I pray we would understand this beautiful thing about amazing grace. It's not just grace, it's amazing grace. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.